Hello and welcome back to Jane Eyre 101. I'm Ariana Farzan with my lovely guests Catherine Raminger and Riley Morton.
Hi, it's good to be back.
I'm a huge fan and I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome back to our dating segment. Today we'll be discussing Jane and Rochester. I know Catherine has a few words about this. So Jane being poor from the get-go and Rochester being a very affluent man and having a huge inheritance from his father and his brother once they died, how do you feel about their relationship with one another?
You know, I think in the beginning they probably should not have dated because she is so much lower than he is in class and he's so much higher, and it just kind of confused everything because of that, and I think that they shouldn't have dated.
Actually, I disagree, because towards the end of the book, Jane starts to gain an inheritance from her past deceased relatives that have died, and she starts to recognize that she's earning a lot of money, and she can now be with Rochester because she loves him and not for his class, and she can provide for herself and be independent in her endeavors.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that just because someone's a higher wealth doesn't mean that they can't marry someone in a lower class than them.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a good lesson that we all learned. Yeah.
That makes sense, because nobody needs to be seen as their money, as a lot of people are seen as their money and not seen as who they are.
And all that really matters is just, like,
if you love them, then what's the point?
And they're going to get along and have a good marriage.
I also think that it's kind of misinterpreted back then that you would only marry people who were just as wealthy as you are. But in this case, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, even people were seen as lower than, like, as a lower person just because they didn't have money, like, as they're less of a person. But that, you know, money doesn't show who you are. It just shows what you have.
And if they're hard workers, then that's all that matters, because they can put their money together and make a good life for each other. And
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. So we're going to switch over and we're going to talk about our author, Charlotte Bronte. What do you guys think her message is to the young readers reading this novel? How do you feel, like, what do you think she's trying to point out to us about class?
Well, I think she wants readers to know that money can't buy happiness and it can only buy love, because love provides a good life for everyone in this book, including Jane and Rochester, because an example is when Rochester teases her with the fact that he loves her, and that brings happiness to Jane. And even when Rochester goes blind in the fire, he still makes Jane happy with his loving attitude towards her, which shows that even if Jane doesn't have money in the beginning, and even with her inheritance,
like, love comes out of it no matter
what.
Love has nothing to do with money. And that also shows how, like, money is perceived as being a better person. Like, when you have this much money, oh, you're a better person. But if you look at Miss Ingram, she wanted to marry Rochester for his money, and Jane wanted to marry him for love. Like, she totally did not love him and was worse of a person than Jane was, but she was perceived as better because of it. And
I mean, we also see it through when Rochester, during that dinner scene, actually said, well, Jane was trying to go upstairs, no, come stay. Come sit and eat dinner with us. And as a servant, normally, you would not be allowed to do that. You would wait till the guests are done and they have left, and probably around 9 o'clock at night, maybe even later, you would eat. But not even at the dinner table. You'd probably eat inside the kitchen with the other servants.
I think Charlotte Bronte is also trying to show that love is, like, virtue, and money can't buy the virtues. Like, Jane has virtues since she was 10 years old and she was living
since she went to school. And
going back to class.
Like, class is so important back then, and, you know, if you're in one class, you mean
there was no
more
middle
than being
class
in nothing.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
there was nothing in the middle. You were either, like, Rochester and very, very wealthy,
or
and
you
had
were Jane
this luxury
and had
life.
Nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
literally, she
nothing.
Didn't even have parents.
Jane's just a kind person. She's loving, and she tries to find the best in everyone, including Adele, which I'm going to bring into this, because Adele, a lot of people don't like her because of her
snooty
annoying
attitude. Oh my gosh.
But Jane tries to find the best in her, and that has nothing to do with Jane's class. Like, Jane has a low amount of money doesn't make her
Adele doesn't even have parents just like Jane, so you can see that they relate with one another.
And they connect, and Jane is just there to help further Adele and not care that she's snooty and not care that, you know, she's a lower class, and Adele doesn't even see that because she's so young. And
I mean throughout the book we can see through class that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're high or low. It matters about love, I guess they're trying to say.
It matters about love, and it matters about who you are inside. It doesn't matter about how much money. Because if you even look at the Rivers, they didn't have a ton of money, but they loved each other so much. Yeah. I mean, like, fabulous siblings.
And I know.
Jane's attitude towards Sinjin, Sinjin is supposed to be this cold, distant figure in the book who doesn't really socialize with anyone. But Jane tries to find the best in Sinjin and tries to build a relationship with him, even if he is not as kind as she is to him. His attitude towards her is not as kind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. And that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I just another thing on top of that, just, you know, class is, again, just a very important thing during that time. Right. And I think that, especially for Charlotte Bronte, since this is kind of based on her story, we can see that this actually happened and that this actually has some true facts behind it, showing us that this did happen during that time, that people did sometimes marry for love instead of money.
Yeah, like Miss, one of the Rivers sisters married a clergyman, but that's even after they got the money that Jane gave them. I mean, she's technically a higher class than the clergyman was, but they still loved each other and that they married anyways. And I think that's great.
She just wanted to be happy and fulfill her life with him.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I just have one more question before this podcast slash wraps up. But it's, you know, we see towards the end of the novel, Jane's class kind of switches from being this poor, innocent young lady to someone who takes care and ends up marrying and having a kid with
this very powerful, independent man.
Man, so can you guys further explain that for the viewers?
Well, when Jane changes position, she becomes Rochester's prop, his guide, his power. And that shows that Jane's class flips and she becomes a member of a higher class. And even though she has the opportunity to travel and make memories and just do anything she wants with her new money and inheritance, she still chooses to use her class to help others like Rochester and use that power that she's gained to do good for others, which shows that even though she has gained money, she hasn't lost her virtue.
Yeah. Like, at the very end there, right before they got married or he proposed or whatever, she was like, you know, I won't leave. I'll build a house and stay nearby and be your nurse if you don't want me to, you know, marry you.
Yeah, she's and not going to let him down.
She wasn't going to just leave somebody that she's known for
quite some time, a good
amount of time.
Because her amount of money is
She, you know, that's changing her virtue. That's changing everything about her. And switching classes doesn't mean you switch who you are.
Yeah, and your identity, your personality.
Yeah, and I honestly feel that this was also very empowering because I don't think I knew anyone who would stay with a man who just was, I guess, originally not as caring towards her or showed the same affection towards
her. Yeah, like, it was like a tease. And then at the end, like, she became the tease. Like,
They switched, like, their attitudes towards each other. Like, Jane was this quiet and innocent young lady, and Rochester was the one who would tease her and be like, oh, and say, oh, I like you. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yes, I do.
And it was, like, back and forth.
Yeah,
back
and then
forth,
when
and
they
now,
got married the first time, he kept her.
I mean, they kind
of
didn't, but, like, well, it was, like, but, weird. But
yeah, he kind of, like, rushed it. Like, we saw even in the movie, he was kind of like running her to the altar, you know?
Yeah, like he was in such a rush.
Their time away had brought them together. Has done them well because they discovered who they really were, even without their money and
I think class had a huge thing with that because Jane ends up inheriting money, becoming one of those wealthy
but in that
people,
time,
but didn't like gloat. She didn't wasn't like.
And in that time away, she's become more of a virtuous and happy person. And then when she goes back to Rochester, she really recognizes that class isn't everything.
Yeah, that's, All right, guys, this
thank
is the
you
end of our
so
podcast,
much.
I guess.
Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
We're signing off.
Yeah, so thank you to our guests. We'll do a round of applause for them for joining our podcast.
Woo! Woo! Thank you
so much. Thank you, viewers, for watching Jane Eyre 101, and I hope you'll tune in next time for our standing time on nature.
Come back soon.
Bye.
Bye.